Morning. Today's scripture is James 5, passages 13 to 20. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins.
Are we good? Check, check. All right. Good morning, everybody. As Darlene said, my name is Rob Barrio, and it's just a privilege and an honor to bring God's word forward today with you all. Not going to lie, a little bit nervous, but that's okay. God's got it. He's under control. It's just intimidating with the wonderful wealth of knowledge that's in front of me today. So before we begin, I'm just going to ask us to bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, through the death of your Son, you have destroyed sin and death. Through his resurrection, you have restored innocence and eternal life. We who are delivered from the power of the devil may live in your kingdom. Give us grace that we may believe this with our whole heart. Enable us always to steadfastly praise and thank you in this faith through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, so as we heard the passage this morning, it's taken from James 5, 13 to 20. All right, the screen's right there. Sweet. Okay, great. This makes life a lot easier. I can't remember who said it a few weeks back. It's like, that screen's hard to read, but no, that's beautiful. All right, so James is a wonderful book, so I'm going to provide a little bit of context to it. Well, there we go. So James is considered the counterpart to Jewish wisdom literature. It complements the teachings of Christ. It's a really practical book, and I really enjoy it. It's considered the Proverbs of the New Testament, which is really cool. So especially in this 21st century when we're really neglecting those practical applications of faith, this comes into very important fold. So the passage talks a lot about prayer. So how many of you have struggled with prayer at one point or another? I'm not going to be ashamed to admit it. I have. Oh, yep. Good. Honest and open. Good. How many of you, one time or another, had a difficulty time while praying? Like struggling to pray, difficult time while praying? All right, let's get a little bit deeper. How many of you have had a hard time confessing a sin to someone? I know it's a little bit difficult. How many of you have even done that? I can say not many have probably done that. But we saw in the passage, that's what we're called to do. So why do we struggle with this? As we see here on the list, is it pride? Is it shame? Is it guilt, fear, or laziness? So there's a multiple number of reasons why we can say we don't do prayer or we struggle with it. And I'm not here to beat you up over the head for those things. The purpose of prayer is to get deeper with God, to dive in with him, be in that community with him. I'm on this pilgrimage of a better prayer life, and that's why I came forward with this sermon, because oftentimes God speaks to me as I bring forward his word. And I've probably had the same questions as you at one point or another. Is it guilt? Is it shame? Is it laziness? Is it fear? Is it all these things? But the importance, like I said, is for prayer, for yourself, to be in that community, whether that's here at Weston, our city, our country, or even our world. We all have to dive in deeper in this prayer life. So the primary focus here throughout the service, I want you to keep in mind that Jesus clung to a prayer life. It was a lifeline for him to connect with his Father. It gave him both guidance, energy, knowledge, direction, even when he was exhausted, even when he was tired and frustrated with his disciples, he went away to pray. He fought temptation, and even when in doubt with difficult circumstances, he prayed and he always acted upon the Father's will. All right, so let's get our journey going here. So that's a little bit of context and a little bit of background. We'll be focusing on the text, so keep your finger on that passage. That's going to be the pulse for today. We're going to be looking at other texts as well, but like I said, to stay focused, keep your hand there. The importance of prayer is that connection, that community with the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end. That's God. He's the author, the perfecter of our faith. He's here to keep us safe, and he's going to guide us through this all. So I developed a complex algorithm for prayer, as you can see here. Very, very difficult, but that's pretty cool. As you can see with this little green dot, what's the first letter of each one of this little algorithm's acrostic poem? What does it say? What does it say? Okay, yes, it does say prayer. Okay, hopefully we'll wake up as the service goes along here, and I'll try my best to stay on task so we can leave on time. All right, here we go. First thing, penance. Oftentimes in our Protestant community, we don't really use that word very often. It's a simple word. It means our confessing of sins to one another. Verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed, that the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So this complements a passage in Acts 19:18. I'm not going to go into too big of details, but if you want to open up to that, that'd be great. We read about people in this passage that they're committing kind of difficult acts. These people are practicing magic and witchcraft, and this isn't just like hand illusions. These people are doing Wiccan things, which is detestable to God. He doesn't like those things. But these people, when they heard about Christ, they gave up those false teachings. And then they knew the true power of God was greater than any magic. And to prove that, they burned their books of magic. They publicly did this in front of a whole bunch of people. They proved that their faith was more in Christ than in their books. And Scripture even tells us how much those books were worth. That was 50,000 pieces of silver. That's not a small amount, friends. 50,000 pieces of silver. They gave all that up for Christ. So friends, if you are in Christ, consider the righteousness of him and the people that we work with and the livelihoods of them and what we have to do for that. These people, like I said, in Acts 19:18, gave up everything to follow after Christ. All right, so let's go into a little bit deeper into this passage. We are told to confess our sins with one another. Are we doing that? I don't really think we're doing that very often in today's day and age. We're a little bit afraid. And I'm trying to figure out why. Because penance is so important. It says right there in Scripture, right up there. We have to confess our sins to one another. And so, maybe this isn't sinking in. What if I was to say to you to think of a sin right now? Think of a sin that you've committed today, earlier this week. Okay? What if I told you that I saw someone do it? Oh, someone saw me do it. What's going on there? And then I'll tell you, God saw you do it. And you're going to be like, of course God saw me do it. He's everywhere. Why is that? God is the Almighty. We don't have this reverence for him. We don't understand who he is. Why? But yet when we confess to somebody else, we realize that we need a savior. It's because sometimes, let me backtrack a bit. We have a hard time confessing to God because sometimes he doesn't feel like he's there. Sometimes it seems like he's pretend. I'll admit it. It's just sometimes it's too easy. But yet when I confess face to face with somebody, that's when God comes alive and he's real. It's not saying he isn't real before, but that's when it's really real. And we realize that we need a savior because we know we can't save ourselves. And when we confess to someone in the flesh, we realize that. We realize at that moment we cannot save ourselves. The healing begins when we acknowledge that sin is great, but when we confess to one another, we know the weight and we know that we need Jesus. The result is the benefit of the heart and a loving community. So I encourage you to try your best to confess your sins to one another. Find somebody who you can be confident in and entrust in. So the next one is reverence. Verse 15, and pray for the faith. Pray, and the prayer of the faithful will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. It's important, friends, to remember that only God can forgive sins. And reverence is a fancy word for respect. So are we fully respecting God when he forgives our sins? All our prayers are going to be answered eventually, but it's all in accordance with his will. There may be times I have prayed for something and God didn't really answer it the way I had hoped, but I understand that he did give an answer and it was for my benefit in the long term. As we see here, God's always going to give us an answer. It's either going to be yes not yet, or no. Mark 2:5 talks about a paralyzed man, a paralytic man that was brought forward to Jesus, and he was healed. So often we're focused on that physical healing, but the thing is that Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Only Christ can forgive those sins. So that physical healing's great, but yet that redemptive nature of being forgiven is so powerful, and that only comes through God. And now I know what you're thinking. You're like, well, this story doesn't really resonate with me, or doesn't make too much sense. So I'm going to just use this little green thing, because this is a lot of fun. All right. So this is a picture of me and my friend Jimmy. Jimmy is a great guy. He's a very strong, faithful prayer warrior, and he's one of my best friends. We pray together, we talk together, we laugh together, and we've cried together through many times. When Jimmy became a believer, his first prayer request was for his mom to come to faith. He's the only one in his family that believes in Christ. Not an easy task, and I'm sure some of you are in that same scenario. Now for Jimmy, like I said, he was praying for his mom to come to faith. And it wasn't till about 2 years ago, at least, that she finally did come to faith. But that was about 2 months before she passed away. She was diagnosed with terminal cancer. So for Jimmy, that was devastating. His mom came to faith, but she was dying, and she wasn't going to make it. He knew that. Everybody knew that. I knew that. And he prayed with me, and we chatted, and we talked, and we cried, and we were together. So we see here, we got the yes and the not yet. So Jimmy's prayer was answered, but it took time. It took about 4 or 5 years. But then, near the end of her life, he got that prayer answered. But then he was asking for his mom to be healed. That answer was no. But that doesn't make it any... That makes God super wonderful, because she came to faith. And that's what that family was, a practicing Buddhist family. So if she survived, who knows if she would have went back to her old ways. So we're just grateful for God that she was able to do that, even in that difficult circumstance of that answer of no. So, as we see here, that answer will always come, but you just have to understand and respect God for whatever comes your way. A, adoration. Okay, there's a lot of words on this slide. Don't worry. It might be intimidating, but we'll get through it. So adoration is a deep love and respect for God through all circumstances. As I gave the example of Jimmy, that was not an easy circumstance for him to go through. So verses 19 to 20, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Friends, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, you'll also love his people. Even the difficult ones, I know that's difficult because those people are sandpaper Christians, but they help keep us focused. Sometimes it's just so easy to go with the tide, but yet when someone goes against the current, we're able to shift our focus back and get it back on track and look to the cross and see Christ. And the interesting thing here is in this passage, we hear of a covering of a multitude of sins. Allow me to unpack this a bit. What this means is sins are being prevented. When we notice that somebody is struggling or starting to veer away from their faith, that might be God prompting you to do action. That might be God telling you, hey, you should go and talk to this person. You should go and pray with this person. You should go and meet with this person and assist them with their struggles. How far are you willing to go to help somebody for Christ? Remember, it cost the apostles and Christ everything. It's just a lot, I know, but this is all part of prayer. Didn't think there was that much to it, did you? So, to parallel this, we look at Galatians 6, 1-2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch over yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens so that you may fulfill the law of Christ. So we see, once again, to go alongside people, to help them through their difficult circumstance, but also to be careful. Be careful. If you're going to be tempted in that situation, it might be best to hold back or go in with somebody. Don't do it alone. We have a community here. Be together. Pray together. Go and help that person who's struggling. This love is unconditional. 1 John 4:19 talks about it. Oftentimes, love can leave us discouraged, frustrated, angry, resentful. This is secondary compared to that love that Christ offers, which is encouragement, sympathy, and support, which is what we should offer to everybody else. So here's a really good quote from Henry Nouwen. I know Pastor Alan Davey likes to use Henry Nouwen, so I figured, hey, might as well if he's good. Let's go for it. So follow along with me here. The Christian leader of the future, or today, is one who truly knows the heart of God as it has become a heart of flesh. In Jesus, in our world of loneliness and despair, there is an enormous need for men and women who know the heart of God, a heart that forgives, cares, reaches out, and wants to heal. It's pretty powerful stuff. We are all considered saints. We are all leaders in one way, shape, or form. So we have to do that element of care, sympathy, encouragement, support, and walking alongside one another. I really like this picture. That's Henry Nouwen working with a wonderful individual who would be considered on the margins of society, maybe considered a lesser than, but he's there for them. He works with them, and he cares for them, shows compassion. That might not be your gift, but that's okay. If you don't know where your gift is to work with people, you can come talk to me or talk to one of your church leadership, and we'll find a place to plug you in. Because not everybody is meant to work with disabled individuals, but that's okay. We are all blessed with wonderful gifts and talents where we can work together to make this beautiful community of Weston go around and to be a light within this dark world. Next is yearning. That's a sense of longing for something or someone. So 13a says, if anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. H.B. Charles Jr., one of my favorite preachers, said, if you don't feel like praying, pray until you do. Just talk to God. Be like, God, I'm really not feeling it today. But I know who you are, and I know who you want me to be, so I'm just going to push on through. James is being a man of wisdom here by showing us to be a faithful steward for God. Notice how he didn't mention the type of suffering. He just says, if anyone is suffering. That can be anything, big, small. We take it to the Lord in prayer. For if it is a struggle to pray, it is a struggle to pray, but also so is forgiveness. So is loving others and caring for the needy. But we need to press on and think of yearning because God has commanded us to do it. And I really like this quote that I came up with. I am doing what is best for me when I know I am doing what is best for God. I'll say that again. I am doing what is best for me when I am doing what is best for God. Jesus taught us to pray. He said our daily bread. We're supposed to be in prayer daily. And I would argue even more than daily. I'm in prayer constantly. This thought comes into my head. I'm like, God, am I going to act on this or am I not? Did I do something wrong? What is it? Even amongst the little things, we're to take them to God. Luke 16:10 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with very much. And whoever is dishonest with very little is dishonest with very much. So to make this applicable, make time in your calendar for God. As you see here, I wrote 7 to 7:30 a.m. God. If I wrote 7 to 7:30 prayer, it might get pushed aside. But yet, for some reason, if I put a title there, God, it's a little harder to push aside the creator of the universe, isn't it? I think so. So now we're on to the next slide. Here we go. So this is ongoing. Jesus said, as Pastor Alan has been mentioning, he's been going through the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Jesus said that. As we can see through yearning, prayer is meant to be active and not stagnant. We've got to be moving with God, trusting in him and working through him and allowing him to use us. Soren Kierkegaard, a famous Christian philosopher, said, prayer does not change God, but it changes him who prays. Once again, we see Henry Nouwen acting diligently with somebody. It's simple. He's doing praises, and he's been trusted with very little, but that's also so much, very much. This young person can mean the world to him, and vice versa. So are we reaching out to help people? And we're going to be ongoingly praying and seeing them as we look at the pure in heart. Like I said, it's not meant to be stagnant prayer, friends. It's meant to be active. It's meant to be lived out. And it's not something that just weighs us down and bogs us down. We see here, he's having fun. Prayer can be fun. Don't just get wallowing all the time down in prayer. No, it's a reason to celebrate. That's why we gather here on Sunday. We're praising God. It's a joyous occasion. Oftentimes, like I confess, I'm a Baptist too. We can sit in our pews and just be very stoic and straight-faced. Don't be afraid to smile. We have a reason to celebrate. We're going to heaven, friends, if we believe in Christ. That's a reason to be joyful. So, endurance. This is one of my favorite pictures, but I'll get to that. The whole passage speaks for us to pray earnestly and not give up on prayer. Endurance is defined as persevering through unpleasant or difficult processes or situations. How does that sound? Not the greatest, but we can press on. When times get difficult, are you still willing to pray? When things are going well, are you willing to pray with others and help those people that are down? Because we're called to be the community. Once again, I know I'm using that word community a lot, but that is so important, is that we are in this together. We have to be alongside one another. If I'm having a great day and I see someone who's down, my goal is to go and meet with that person and pray with them. My Lenten project for this year, as you're aware, I'm at Tyndale, is to pray with somebody before I go to bed every night. I go and meet somebody one night and go and pray with them. Doesn't matter who they are. If I see them in the halls, I'm going to stop and pray with them. Just to make it practical. There's a practical example right there. Call someone. It doesn't have to be done in person. But sometimes people think, well, prayer, it's kind of complicated. It doesn't have to be. You can keep it simple. Because I've heard people pray on and on and on. Great. But if that's not you, don't worry about it. Here's what Martin Luther said for a simple prayer. Here's what you can use. You can use this one. Dear Father in heaven, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, grant us your Holy Spirit that we may be true learners of Christ and therefore acquire a heart with never-ceasing fountain of love. Amen. That's it. Simple prayer, straight to the point. It doesn't need to be some long-winded speech. So this picture here, there we go. Yeah, that picture there, one of my favorite pictures. This is the Hoyt team, father-son team that do triathlons together. Father's in about his 50s, 60s there, pretty good shape. And his son, clearly not able to participate in a triathlon, but his son encourages him to do these triathlons with him. He motivates him, he encourages him. And presses on. Even when his father's body is sore and tired and exhausted and he can't do anymore, his son motivates him. It's a beautiful story because, like I said, his father wouldn't be doing them if it wasn't for his son. And the thing is, with this team, they've never finished in last place. They've always finished the triathlon. For those that don't know what a triathlon is, that involves, as you can see, running, biking, and swimming. One of the hardest races you can ever do. But yet they press on and they go through. They don't give up when it's tough. Because it's not easy. Even when their bodies are sore and tired and they can't do it anymore, they're still going through. I'd recommend, if you have the chance later today, to look them up on YouTube. Very powerful testimony. As a person who's athletic and can't be athletic right now, it's very impactful for me because I just have to rely on God through it and just pray to him that he can do some healing. But if not, I just have to trust that answer because it all works according with his will. So, the final part of prayer, release and rejoice. Beautiful part. Here we go. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. This complements Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. When we release whatever it is to God, we lift up our hands and we can thank him for what he's done. Like I said, we're here. Let's not be mopey. Let's be happy. God's here with us. That's a reason to be celebrating. So let's just release whatever it is to God and be grateful that he's forgiven our sins. That is a reason to celebrate. One of the many important reasons, like I said, we're here. God loves his people, and he rejoices when we're in communion with one another. And to prove this, also within Scripture, we know that when someone comes to faith, there's a celebration in heaven. I'm going to use some Alan Davey words here. There's a celebration in heaven, man. There's a celebration in heaven. And when you participate in that, it's not too late. It's not too late to come to Christ. There's a party in heaven. Woo! When you come to faith. Think about that. And when you release it, God will lift you up and you can lift your hands and thank him for what he has done. So when we do that final part of prayer, we just release whatever it is. It's a sign of surrender and giving it all to God because we don't have to carry that weight anymore. God has made you and he loves you for who you are and he wants to be with you. If he's knocking on your heart and if he's tugging on you, respond to that call. It's not too late. He wants to be with you. And we want you here. You all are wonderful people. You all have different gifts and talents. And just use them for God's glory and for his honor. Oh, there we go. So let's bring it all together. So we have penance. So reverence, adoration, yearning, endurance. Ran out of spots on my hand. So what am I going to do now? I'm just going to release it to God and rejoice for what he's done. There's a way you can do it. It's very simple. If you can't remember that, just go through that quick little complex algorithm of prayer. Go for it. Give it a shot. Penance, reverence, adoration, yearning, endurance. And then just release it to God. Just give it all to him because he can take it. And we can't do it alone. So what? Pray with one another in the church without fear. Like I said, we're all in this together. Go meet with one another and pray for the ministry here at Weston. I cannot express how much gratitude and how much I feel blessed this past week. People have been praying for me that I don't even know doing this service. And I just pray that it's been a blessing to you as well, because God has blessed me with prayer throughout this whole week. You should be praying for your ministry teams. Pray for them Saturday night before they give the service. They need to be saturated in prayer. Pray for those church leaders. Pray for the city. Pray for your country. Pray for your government. I know not a lot of people are like, oh, well, politics. But the thing is we have to pray for these leaders in power because we just pray that they can uphold Christian values, even if we don't agree with all their politics. Because that's what we want. We want to see God's kingdom here on earth. And as we just heard before the offering, there's a missions team going to Bolivia. Pray for them. And I'm saying to pray for them, but also meet with them and pray with them. Encourage them, because sometimes being a youth or adolescent, it's so important to have that face-to-face interaction to know that there's people caring for them and loving them. So pray with them. Meet with them. You are just as important as the people that are going on that missions trip. Have you ever thought of that? You're praying for them. You're fighting that spiritual battle for them. They're on the front lines doing their work, but you're doing that spiritual battle to prevent the devil from invading them. So pray with them and constantly pray for them while they're gone. And speaking of front lines, pray for front lines. As we heard, they're just having their anniversary coming up. Is that right? Wonderful. Pray for them. Pray for the Habar committee that can keep going through despite all these little glitches, and even as the church is becoming incorporated, pray for the church so you still have this place to be. Encourage one another. Have fun with it. Like I said, it doesn't have to be complicated. So, if I could pack this all up into one sentence, there it is on the bottom. Allow Weston to be a church that is saturated in active prayer to shine Christ's light and bring about God's kingdom here on earth. I think we want that, don't we? No, we don't. Do we want that? Yes. All right, okay, good. I'm just making sure. I don't want y'all to just be like, okay, rough me. Okay, so great. I'm glad to hear that you're interested in this, okay? So I'm just going to close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for your son who you sent to die on the cross for us. This Lenten season, let it be a constant reminder of who you are and what you've done. Lord, oftentimes we can make prayer to be some big thing, but we know it's not. We know it's just being in communion with you and community with other people. Let us take these simple yet sometimes overwhelming applications and just use them for your glory and for your honor. And I just pray that this Church of Weston can be a little light within the community to shine bright your name for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.